This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Right now, we have a temperature of 44 at O'Hare Airport, 38 at the lakefront, and plenty of sunshine so far.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, different day, same story on Wall Street with the Dow lower by 103 points or 0.4%, while the NASDAQ and S&P are in the green. The NASDAQ up 45 points, moving above 7,600. The S&P higher by 11 and very close to 2,800. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by more than 0.1%. Our local index, as well as the Dow, being hurt by a drag of Boeing shares. They're sinking more than 7%. President Trump says airlines are becoming too complex to fly. France, Germany, and Ireland have joined the band on Boeing's 737 MAX. We got a reading on consumer prices. They rose 0.2% in February. That was the first increase in 3 months. But core CPI, when you take out food and energy, slowed. So that buys the Fed more time on interest rates. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. Among the topics on today's Noon Business Hour, Boeing, you losing more money again today. We're going to discuss focus on the industry, as well as the reaction. And Hulu and Spotify are doubling down on streaming.
And the fact that more and more people are buying SUVs and other larger vehicles means sedans sometimes sit on the dealer lots for a long period of time. What are they doing to cope? All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A shift in car sales finds some dealers with too many cars on the lot. We will be covering that in our next segment right now. The latest release of the Consumer Price Index tops today's business, along with latest barometer from America's small businesses. We're joined by Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist at Bloomberg in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Carl.
Good afternoon.
What does this tell us?
Well, I think what we can take from the two reports, and we'll take them in the order they were released. So small business sentiment was out earliest this morning, and we saw a little bit of a improvement from the prior month, but still we're lower than where we were for most of last year. So it seems to be that what we saw in small business sentiment here is a bit of a reflection of what's happening in the broader economy, whether we're talking about very large firms or even households for that matter. And the gist is that given that sharp constriction of financial conditions that we saw in the fourth quarter, and that's kind of code language for the pullback in the equity markets. After that swoon, businesses and households paused to assess what was actually happening in the economy. If this was just usual kind of exceptional volatility, or if this was some bigger economic problem. And what seems to be the case is we're seeing, okay, that was just kind of a perfect storm of events in Q4, but the economy's still on relatively sound footing. And therefore, we're starting to see a lot of these sentiment metrics from households to big businesses and small businesses in between, all of them are starting to thaw ever so gradually. And that tells us that the outlook for 2019 is not so bad. It's certainly not as good as last year, where tax cuts were really providing a sugar high. But nonetheless, we still should be able to grow above trend for 2019.
With businesses pulling back a bit, does that mean that consumer prices will stay where they are and maybe even fall a bit?
Well, I think what we're seeing on the consumer price side is really largely a reflection of what's happened in currency markets. So we've seen the dollar, it strengthened last year, continues to strengthen this year. It's up about 7% year on year. And when the dollar is strong, that drives down the price of imported goods. When imported goods prices fall, then we see a lot of goods in the consumer shopping basket decline as well. And that's really what we saw today. So we can talk about tariffs and how it's really extracting a toll on households. But really, the currency move seems to be overwhelming a lot of that tariff price tag, basically providing a buffer. And so we're not seeing a lot of consumer inflation at the moment. However, it remains my view that if we look back a little further, last Friday's jobs report, while the hiring number wasn't great, beneath the surface, we saw a lot of wage pressures mounting in the economy. Something called average hourly earnings are now growing at the fastest pace of this economic cycle. And if labor costs are rising, that means not only will producers have to raise their prices because labor is a significant input, it also means that households will have more buying power to tolerate those price increases because they're taking home slightly bigger paychecks. So I don't think we can write off an inflation acceleration just yet for this year. We saw prices accelerate last year, and I think we'll see a little bit more of that over the course of this year. So, certainly not a boil over, but it's moving higher.
Well, at what point does inflation really become an issue in the economy? Like, for example, at what point do consumers really stop or cut back their spending because prices seem higher?
Well, it's all relative, right? It's relative to the paychecks that households are earning. And so if we are seeing decent income creation, then households can tolerate that growth. If we look back to that jobs report, we're seeing most households seeing pay gains of 4 to 5%, which means that if inflation is running at 2%, that is certainly manageable for them. When inflation gets to a point where those pay gains are then erased, then you start to have a much more significant problem. We're not there at the moment.
So Boeing obviously having some challenges. We're seeing it in the stock price. If you have more and more of these airlines that are grounding these planes, I mean, is there a chance? I'm thinking as far as the economy goes, it's not just Boeing that's impacted, right? You have everyone who produces any sort of parts or technology that goes into one of those airplanes.
Right. There's significant supply chain implications if this is really a lasting problem. My read of the situation is they're still determining what exactly is behind this. So I think it's too early to really say that there would be macroeconomic implications. That being said, if airlines are grounding traffic, then you will see kind of disruptions to supply networks, supplier delivery times are lengthened, and possibly, you know, if there's fewer airplanes out there, you can see increases in tickets and transportation costs. But at this point in time, so looking back at past episodes that we could maybe draw some parallels with, I don't see a big macroeconomic story, certainly a micro story.
Carl, thanks for joining us this morning for a couple of minutes. Carl Riccadonna is chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. And coming up, the market for sedans in the U.S. is shrinking.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There are some models of cars that are sitting on dealer lots as Americans shift their preferences to SUVs and crossovers. Let's get the latest on trends in the auto industry from Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter based in Detroit. Jeff, so is this something that is pretty much hitting every manufacturer? Are there certain manufacturers that are more prone to having some of these models just sitting there?
Yeah, well, generally there are always some models that just sit there because the auto field is very competitive. So there are vehicles that are selling fast, and then you've got vehicles that don't sell so fast, and it's those vehicles that sit on dealers' lots that tend to have the incentives. What you have now is more of a pattern. It turns out that many of these vehicles that are sitting on dealer lots are car-based, passenger car-based, because there's been such a rapid move to SUVs, so a lot of the traditional sedans are left behind.
So are the dealers feeling pressure to, you mentioned incentives, to try to do whatever they can to get some of these vehicles moving?
Yeah, exactly, and that tends to be a rule of thumb in the auto industry. If a vehicle is moving on its own, well, you're not going to get a deal at all. output of a vehicle isn't, then you're going to get incentives. So buyers who aren't necessarily picky, who don't necessarily want exactly what they want and are a little flexible, can get a good deal. And again, it's not always sedans. I'm seeing a list here that there are a couple of SUVs on here, like the Hyundai Santa Fe and the Fiat 500X, which is kind of a cross between an SUV and a sedan. So if you shop on the Edmunds.com and the Kelley Blue Book sites, they usually have a good list of what vehicle has the most incentives.
As large as this industry is, does this affect the entire market when there's a pullback like this?
Yeah, it does affect the entire market, and the industry has a lot more flexibility. So car makers see this, and they tend to throttle back production. So because, you know, they want their vehicles to sell as much at full sticker as possible. So, you will see this change. You'll see it ebb and flow as you go along. But one other thing some of the analysts tell me is we're heading into a period where a lot of new models are going to start flooding the market. And that could be a time in the spring where we see a growth of incentives, because car makers have kind of held the line on incentives the last couple of months and let the industry naturally slow down. So we may see that boost when more new models come out.
What has been the highest boost this year so far?
I do not have those stickers in front of me, but those numbers in front of me. But again, it's going to be on car-based products. Take, for example, Chicago, where they just let the last Ford Taurus roll off the assembly line. I don't know this for a fact, but a vehicle like that that's phasing out, that tends to be the kind of vehicle that dealers put a lot of incentives on, because they need to get it off of the lot to get some new models on. Again, I don't know specifically if that vehicle is the case, but I imagine it is just by that nature.
What kind of an impact is it having on leasing vehicles?
Yeah, this is really interesting, because lease prices have gone up over the past couple of years, but they've particularly gone up on sedans. And you think that's counterintuitive, because sedans aren't selling. Well, because the sedans aren't selling, they tend to have a lower residual value, and that goes into determining the lease. So that means some of these slower-selling vehicles, you'll get a real good deal on if you want to buy it, but you're not going to necessarily get a good deal on it if you want to lease it.
And are we just talking here really about new vehicles? Is the used vehicle market just kind of a different animal?
Yeah, the used vehicle market is a different animal. And the people I've talked with at Kelley Blue Book say that sedan sales are actually quite healthy in the used vehicle market. And when you think about it, that would make sense, because the used vehicle market tends to be more discount-oriented. It's not necessarily somebody who wants the latest, greatest. So, you know, somebody who is looking to save money might buy a 3- or 4-year-old sedan, where they wouldn't necessarily go in the market for a new one.
Jeff, always nice to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us today. Jeff Gilbert is CBS auto reporter in Detroit. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday, more countries are grounding the model of Boeing jet that has crashed in Ethiopia over the weekend.
WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Green Tea Services. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is lower by 99 points, or a third of a percent. We're at 25,551. NASDAQ higher by 46 points, or two-thirds of a percent, to 76.04. And the S&P on the rise by 12 points, or four-tenths of a percent, to 27.95. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is headed slightly lower, down about a tenth of a percent. We saw the Small Business Optimism Index rise in February, according to the National Federation of Independent Business. So it snapped a 5-month losing streak, which was the longest in 2 decades. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Wheat futures have led the charge higher over the noon hour. Commodity fund buying at oversold levels has been the main feature. There are reports that the Ukrainian wheat crop could see dry conditions for the next 30 days. There's also word that we are in the final weeks of reaching a trade agreement with China. Corn futures 4 to 4.5 cents higher, beans 6 to 7 cents higher, and the wheat market 20 to 22 cents higher. This is Kirk Kimmel, Bates Commodities Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Codo.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Travel Tuesday, Great Britain is the latest country to ground the Boeing 737 MAX jet in the aftermath of this weekend's deadly crash in Ethiopia.
Music streamer Spotify and video streaming service Hulu are expanding their partnership.
More than 30 suspects are facing charges as part of a joint state and federal investigation into heroin and fentanyl trafficking here in the Chicago area.
50 people, including two Hollywood actresses, are charged in what's being called the largest college admissions scam ever prosecuted by the Justice Department.
On Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrials are down about 87 points, the S&P 500 up by 11, and the NASDAQ up 44.
Sunshine in Chicagoland, some more clouds as the afternoon goes along, heading to a high of 51. Right now, 40 O'Hare, 41 Midway, 43 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
We are seeing mixed results on Wall Street today so far. We're joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Jack. To what would you attribute what we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the negative news, I think, along the broader markets is related to Boeing and that the sort of more shoes are dropping here. I would have expected yesterday was kind of a one-off, but now, as you mentioned earlier, more and more countries are joining that grounding ban, if you will, and that's weighing on the company stock.
Is this this something that could really be very serious for Boeing?
I mean, I guess it could. I think that one of the, you know, obviously statistically speaking, with thousands of flights with this aircraft every day, you know, odds are against something like that, but given the similarities of the crashes in the same aircraft, I think investors are deciding, you know, it's probably worth selling first and finding out and asking questions later.
Now, some of this that Boeing stock had it really been doing pretty well, and so maybe you got some profit taking here in the midst of the uncertainty.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, if you strip away you know, even just or even take into account today's news, where Boeing is still up pretty significantly year to date. In fact, this news takes us, you know, the price at, you know, 370, let's say, back to where it was in, you know, the end of January. So, yeah, it's a pretty dramatic move to the downside, but it's essentially lopped you know, maybe a month and a half off of its progress.
So as we've seen, markets seeming kind of stubborn here after they had a pretty good run. Are they waiting for something? Are they waiting for a trade deal? Are they waiting for some other sort of jolt in the economy or something?
That's it. I think we're just, you know, what we're finding is there's really no catalyst right now. I think that, you know, the most recent news from last week shows that that, you know, we just may be running out of people to hire. And so it's not necessarily suggesting that, you know, that the economy is slowing, although that's certainly a tight labor market that really doesn't have that many more able-bodied workers, you know, could be a big constraint. So I think that's, you know, casting some doubt on, you know, continued economic acceleration. So I do think investors are looking for something tangible, like perhaps a trade deal with China, maybe more positive economic news. And right now, you know, today's not a day for that. All we really have is the Boeing announcement. So I think that's what everyone's focused on. So I would say, you know, my upshot on Boeing is, look, it's a great company. Yes, it's a near-term setback. I don't know where the bottom is. But I would say long-term investors should probably use these pullbacks, especially if it gets a little more severe here, you know, to go in and say this is a great company long-term, and you know, whatever number of years from now, most people probably aren't going to remember this this problem. I think McDonald's, another local company, had similar issues years ago, and so I think there are ways to, you know, try to take this near-term selling and use it to your advantage longer term.
When it comes to, though, kind of the longer-term investors, it seems like this is repeated a lot. Some people ignore it. But that dollar-cost averaging, just sort of regularly putting little bits on a particular stock or in a particular fund that you like so that over the long haul you actually end up getting a good deal.
That's it. And really, the bottom line to investing is I don't profess to be smarter than everybody else. What I really try to do is just match the investments with the time horizon that we have. So if you told me that, you know, we need to invest money for an April 15th tax payment, I don't care how much I like Boeing stock or Apple stock or any stock. It's just not appropriate for that type of time frame. In fact, I probably wouldn't own any portfolio of equities unless I had at least 7 years to reap the benefits. So it's really, oftentimes it's just matching the time horizon with the investments that you have. And generally, where investors get into trouble is selling before they really, selling in a distressed manner, either because they need the money right away or they get scared and lose track. So that's really kind of the upshot of investing, I believe.
Jack Eblin, thanks for being with us. Jack is Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Wealth Advisors here in Chicago. Up next, Travel Tuesday, more governmental reaction to the crash of a Boeing jet in Africa on Sunday, including some breaking news. The European aviation regulator is suspending all Boeing 737 MAX operations in Europe.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Kaler Luggage. The European aviation regulator ESA has grounded Boeing 737 MAX planes. Let's get the latest from Ken Goldstein, President KJG International Consulting here in Chicago. Ken, that is some breaking news. What's going on in Europe? What do you make of this in light of what's been going on over the last 48 hours or so with Boeing?
Well, first off, let me say thank you for having me on. And this is a very interesting phenomenon. It started earlier this morning when the British Aviation Authority decided to ground all 737 MAX 8 flights there. ESA, which is European Air Safety Commission Association, came back and followed through. What's interesting here is that they are parting ways from the FAA. Usually it's the FAA, Federal Aviation Authority, which sets the standard, and everyone follows that. In this case, actually, if you want to go back to Monday, China and Indonesia were the first to ground the airplane way before the Americans or we started to do anything. So now with the situation with Britain and, of course, ESA doing it, Boeing has a major problem. The best way to capitalize or kind of encapsulate this is say perception is reality. And it doesn't really matter what you think or what you can prove yet. It's the way people perceive it. And right now, the people, traveling public countries, safety commissions, perceive that the 737 MAX 8 is not a safe plane to fly.
You mentioned that normally the FAA leads the way on this globally. So is there something these other countries know, or are they just being maybe more cautious?
No, I think everyone is being cautious. When you're dealing with aviation, you got to remember, every time, God forbid, there's a crash, there's a tremendous investigation, and it's very painstaking and takes time till they come up with the things, and then, of course, the mandates are put in here. The situation here is you've got two crashes within 5-6 months of each other where the situation seems to be almost similar. In the Lion Air case in Indonesia, back in October, and of course, Ethiopian Airlines crash Sunday, the plane took off, seemed to wobble, and then went nose down into it. And at the time, the first concerns that were voiced in Indonesia was one, pilot training, and second, maintenance of the aircraft. And then they started to focus more and more on this thing called the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System. This is a software program that Boeing put in to avoid a stall. Now, it could be handled properly if the pilot is experienced because they can override it. And in the American cases, our pilots with Southwest, American, even United, those are the three carriers in our country that fly the plane, although United flies a MAX 7, not a MAX 8. these pilots are pretty experienced. They know how to override it. And I'm not saying that this is the definitive issue, but in the case in Indonesia, it was a younger pilot. In the case of Ethiopian, the crew there was experienced, and they had undergone some additional training after the Indonesian situation. But you really need to do more. And Boeing has been waiting to do this. The FAA has not mandated an update. It's coming back. They're going to do something, but nothing has happened yet.
Ken, normally, this is abnormal, of course, but what do you do next? Do you do some flights and over again to make sure that it's safe?
Well, the first thing is they've got to decide, and it's going to take time, to handle the situation of saying what was in fact the problem. Was the MCAS the problem? The situation, how do you override it? Do we need more training for the pilots? Better maintenance? Who knows? But the biggest problem here is the loss of confidence by countries, airlines, safety associations, and more importantly, the traveling public. Here in the United States, if you wanted to find out if you were flying a MAX 8, on either American or Southwest, you'd have to do some things. But neither airline yet is allowing you to change without cost. In other places, they've solved that. In Europe, they just said the airplane can't fly. In China, it can't fly. We're not allowing it. We grounded it. So this becomes the situation. Boeing has a tremendous PR problem here. It is also an economic problem for them. They lost 5.3% of their stock value on Monday. Today, in excess of 7.3%. The MAX models for Boeing, they are two-thirds of their future deliveries, and they're about 40% of their profits. So this is a big issue that Boeing, although Dennis Muilenburg, the CEO, and he's here in Chicago, has said, we have faith in it and the people who make it. They've got to do something to reassure the public.
Yeah, that's certainly the PR aspect is huge here. Ken Goldstein, thanks for being with us. President KJG International Consulting. Up next, the next level for Hulu and Spotify.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Spotify and Hulu are expanding their existing partnership. Let's get details with Tim Hanlon, founder of and CEO of the Vertera Group here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Tim. What's the deal here?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. I sense that this is one of a number of new and ongoing price promotions that benefits both Hulu and Spotify, but Hulu in particular. Hulu, as most people know, right, is one of the sort of prime streaming services out there, and that has two tiers to it. One is sort of an ad-free subscription service, which is a premium product for $12.99 a month. And then there's also an ad-supported or lightly ad-supported version for less. That is the crux of the expanded partnership between Spotify and Hulu, where Spotify users, for a limited amount of time, I think it's 3 months or so, will have the opportunity of basically getting the Hulu ad-supported version, the lesser expensive of the two, for free for a couple of months, and then at a reduced price going forward.
Is this good news for the people out there who would like a break on some of their favorite ideas and what they like to watch? Will that be a little less expensive now, at least for three months?
In essence, yes. And I think this is what you're seeing is it's an aggressive move by Hulu to broaden their user base. I mean, essentially, Hulu is the number three when you compare it to Netflix and to Amazon Prime in terms of number of subscribers. This is a great way to get more viewers on their basic service and obviously grow some of their ad revenue as well. But yes, it's a nice bundled opportunity for folks who are both Spotify and potentially interested in Hulu as well.
Tim Hanlon, always good to have you with us. Tim is founder and CEO of the Vertera Group, seeing more and more of these partnerships, especially with technology. We'll check the markets with Bloomberg next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is lower by 72 points or 0.25%. NASDAQ up 51 or 0.33%. S&P advancing 14 points. And the Wintrust Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is also higher by 0.1%. Boeing is dealing with more fallout from the weekend's deadly 737 MAX plane crash. The European Union has just announced it is suspending all 737 MAX flight. So it's going to join regulators and airlines from all around the world in making this move. The U.S., the FAA has said that the plane is airworthy at this point, but and it has not been taking any action on that Boeing 737 just yet. But the Boeing stock is down 7% over this week, or I should say the month of March. Boeing shares have retreated 15.5%. With Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.